Let's turn in our scriptures to Acts chapter 26, and if you can turn back to Genesis chapter 3, we'll be spending most of our time there. As we read Revelation, we saw the enormity of the battle, as it were, between Satan and God, and the depth of his enmity against the Lord and his people, and the fact that he knows he's going to lose, and the fact that he knows his time is short, just causes him to be more enraged. But I wanted to look at what it was, what it is for our God. He opens eyes, he turns his people from darkness to light, and he turns us from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We've looked at what it is for there to be a light to come from heaven. We've looked at what it is to have eyes that are opened and to be turned from darkness to light. And this morning, Lord willing, I'd like us to look at the power of Satan, where it comes from and how it holds people, its impact on this world, its impact on us. And I trust as we examine the power of Satan, we might be caused to remember and to be extraordinarily thankful to our great God, who has set his people free from the power of Satan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might bless your word to our hearts this morning, that you might open our eyes, that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ in the glory of his victory. And that your word, Heavenly Father, might be precious to us, and that we might know and not be unaware of the schemes of Satan, the enemy of the souls of your people. We thank you for the deliverance that your dear and precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, wrought for us. We pray yet again, Heavenly Father, we might be caused to rejoice in the great victory that he has won on Calvary's tree. And now that victory is being played out throughout this world as you carry your people as testimony, Heavenly Father, to your grace. May you bless your word to our hearts and cause your Son to be exalted in us and amongst us, our Father. We pray in Jesus' name. If eternal life is knowing God, which is a verse from John 17:3 that I quote so often, this is eternal life, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If eternal life is knowing God, then eternal death is having anything other than that God as your God. And we do have an enemy of the souls of people. I love how Hebrews 2:14 begins, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." John writes in 1 John 3:8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Satan has a power. We saw it and read it in Revelation. He has a power to continue a war against God and his saints. But he has a power that to hold this world captive, as John says in 1 John 5:19, "The whole world lieth in the wicked one." The whole world is held in subjection. He says that's what we know. When we look at this world, do we see this world as a world which is held in darkness and held in deception by the great enemy of mankind? See, Satan's greatest deception is to hide himself from those he deceives. His next greatest deception is to convince men of their righteousness. even if that's a future righteousness. And he hides his deception behind a cloak of holiness and morality and good deeds. See, Satan induced our first parents to break the covenant of works in which they lived in innocent communion with God. So Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, says, but I fear, 2 Corinthians 11:3, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That was his fear, wasn't it? For these people that he'd been sent there, these people that he'd been told of God, that he has many people in this city, his great fear that lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, through his cunning and through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. All of Satan's attacks are on the minds of people. Satan, the word Satan means one who withstands, one who is an adversary, one who is an opponent. His other name in the scriptures is Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer, shining one, morning star, to shine as to be praised, boastful to be made praiseworthy. His other name in the scriptures is devil, which means a slanderer, an accuser, falsely accusing. He's also known as the great serpent and the great dragon. So I wanted us to be together, just look through these verses in Genesis 3 and let's follow the pattern of Satan's deception, this beguiling of Eve through his subtlety. And I want us to remember, of course, that 100% of humanity was represented in this deception. And I want us to remember that if Satan so used these ploys against our first parents in their innocency when they walked with God in the cool of the day and were naked and felt no shame, they had no sin, then these tactics of Satan are perfectly fine in 2020. He doesn't need to change a single thing, nor does he. The power of Satan, that word power, has two connotations. One is authority and the other is ability. And here he is usurping the authority of God and questioning the ability of God. Here the corruption began. From just this little beginning, all of those things, all of the sins that we see in this world, all of the things that cause trouble and anxiety, all of the plagues of all of the things that happen in this world come from this very beginning here. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. See, Satan's first point of attack is on the word of God, on the character of God, and on the name of God. And that's where Satan comes to us all the time, doesn't he? Hath God said? Did God really say? Is it really true that God said? It's interesting, isn't it, to note that the first thing he does is he reduces the name of God. Eve had only ever known him as Yahweh God, the Lord God. If you read Genesis 2, ever since the creation of man, he's always referred to as the Lord God, Yahweh God, the God who is in covenant union with his people. Now Satan comes to him and he takes away that name that represents covenant union, and just calls him God. Elohim. He's not lying, but what he's done is he subtly reduced the name of God. These days, it's extraordinarily common, has become a plague on this world, in this world, in this last generation or so that almost everyone in religion only ever refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus. Jesus this and Jesus that. You listen to them and you listen to their sermons. They speak of Jesus all the time. Very rarely do they give him his titles. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, didn't he? He said, God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. He paid very dearly for his titles. They are his and he's worthy of them. Satan's first attack is to challenge the name of God. And then he attacks the character of our God and the word of our God. See, our God is good. Our God is good. He's good in all his ways. He's good in all he does. Things that God does are good because God does them. He's righteous and just. Our God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his covenant. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his character. And in the garden, in Genesis 2:16, if you turn there, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. See, what he was saying is that there is this extraordinary provision, isn't it? There is a provision that is generous and fulfilling. And what does Satan say to the woman? Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he turns what God's provision is in terms of it being generous and fulfilling, turns it into a prohibition which is general, isn't it? Eve knew that there was one tree in the garden they were not to eat of. She'd learnt that from her husband Adam and probably from God himself. But you see what he says, isn't it? What God's positive becomes Satan's negative. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's lying. He's a liar and a murderer. See, he focuses on the one prohibition, the one tree in all the garden which was there to represent the covenant of works, but also the authority of God. You shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Hath God said? Has God told you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You see, Satan fell. We read it last week in Isaiah 14. He says, 14 verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. This is Satan before the fall of Adam and Eve. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the most high. You go on and read in Isaiah chapter 14, you realise that the whole world was made a wilderness. The whole world was made a wilderness. You see, Satan, when he saw man created in the image of God, his pride was stirred into hatred and deceit and an attempt to undo God's created order. You see, the angels encamp around God's people. Hebrews 1:13 says of the Lord Jesus, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit in my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? We were enemies and we made to bow at the footstool of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are they not all ministering spirits? This is what the angels were designed of God to do. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? See, Satan saw no honour in being a servant. See, the pride that was found in Satan was when the evil one learned that he was to be a servant of the heirs of salvation. And that exact pride resides in the heart of all Adam's children. Don't you dare tell me what to do. Whenever we rise up in opposition to authority, we're revealing the power of Satan. We are, brothers and sisters, we are living and breathing testimonies to the truth of Genesis 3. Satan was proud. He came and he challenged the name of God. He challenged the purpose and the character of God. Satan's power to deceive. See, God's word is made a topic for debate. Yea, hath God said? Is it really true what God says? See, Satan raises the possibility that God may have spoken unclearly and that the true meaning is there for Eve to consider and judge with her reasoning. See, when Satan openly denies God's spoken word, Eve had already been drawn into his web of lies and deceit. Genesis 3:2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. So now Eve has been drawn in by this debating about the word of God and the truthfulness of God's word and the character and the goodness of God. She now adds to the word of God. No one ever adds to the word of God or subtracts from the word of God without being damaged thereby. You see, having added to the word of God, now it's just but a small journey to denying the very word of God. You see what she said? Lest ye die. Eve is now denying the very clear word of God. We might die, is what Eve's saying. We might die if we eat of this tree. God says you shall surely die. So now she's challenging the very judgment of God and the very words of God. What God declares as sure is now a possibility left in man's hands to establish by his reasoning. And that's exactly how people today think about the judgment of God, don't they? It's something that we can debate and discuss. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die. Now, having woven his web of deceit and caused her to stand in judgment of the word of God, now he can just openly deny the word of God. And listen to what he says. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He caused her to doubt the word of God, and now he can openly deny God's clear word. And now Eve is ready to take the fruit. But listen to what Satan says. For God doth know. See, Satan claims knowledge of God's motives beyond which was written and beyond which God had spoken. This is the beginning of priestcraft. This is the beginning of the religion of man, isn't it? Where man has some special knowledge. You can acquire some special knowledge and you can rise to a place of authority above other people because you have something special. That's exactly what the priests do. That's what the Roman priests have been doing for years. They banned the Bible in the Roman Catholic Church. That's what the modern priests of evangelicalism today say, don't they? That these things are difficult and complicated, the balance between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, the issue of whether God loves everyone or whether he doesn't love everyone, the issue of whether the Lord Jesus Christ died for everyone or didn't die for everyone. All of those issues that are controversial all the time, the priests say, they're too hard for you. They're too complicated. I'll sort them out. I've had my training in my Bible college. You just rest in what I say about them. The priestcraft of Satan began here in the garden. Our God's word is true, as Isaiah 8:22 says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. If they speak not according to the word of God, there is no light in them. Every word of God, Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. She is led to believe by this secret knowledge that Satan has, that's not been revealed to her, that God is withholding some good for her, which she's entitled to, and will add to her sense of self-worth. She began by following the serpent in reducing the name of God, adding to the word of God, doubting the word of God, denying the word of God, denying his character. A little bit of yeast works through the whole batch of dough. She listened to the wicked one. And she Satan cast doubt on the word of God and the justice of God and the goodness of God. See, the character of God, who is judge, and who is a judge who is just and righteous in all he does, is now challenged and denied. You shall not surely die. You shall not die. There will be no retribution. There will be no judgment for you. You can take this fruit. You can swallow this fruit. You can take my advice. You can follow my lead, and you will be fine. She's led to believe that God is withholding some good from her from which she's entitled to. See, Satan makes a promise to her based on his secret knowledge. God does know. I know that God knows. You don't know what God knows. I know more about what God knows than you do. Then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here in the garden at the beginning, in this deception, this subtle deception of Eve, is the beginning of so many things, isn't it? The pride of man, the priestcraft of man, man doubting the word of God, man doubting the judgment of God, man accepting the very fruits of Satan's deception. You shall be as gods, courses through the veins of every one of Adam's children. You shall be as gods. Your eyes shall be opened. What were Adam's eyes open to? They were open to shame and degradation. His first son was a murderer. What horrible things his eyes were open to. What horrible evil befell him and his family and all of those in him as they came to a knowledge of good and evil. She looked at this tree. She saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. John, in 1 John, describes it as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Opened eyes. See, in the garden, Satan, the great deceiver, used the law of God under the covenant of works to show Eve that God was withholding something beneficial from them by his one commandment in the garden. And Satan now, outside the garden, uses the law to show believers how they should live under it as a rule of life, as a means, and he uses it as a means of accusation to believers, to show them how sinful we are, and thus undeserving of God's love and mercy. How could you do that, he says to us? How could you think that? How could you live like that and call yourself a Christian? See, only Christ who sheds a light from heaven and does both of those lies. He was lying to them. He's a liar and a murderer. Only Christ reveals and shows. And only Christ, revealed to us by the blessed Holy Spirit, would cause us to see that we, the children of God, are one with him. We are buried, Colossians 2:12, we're buried with him in baptism. We're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together. He's made your life together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Not only has he forgiven us all our trespasses, he's blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. The one thing that Satan can bring in accusation against us is the law of God. He says, here's the law of God, and you've disobeyed it. Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? Have you loved your neighbour as yourself? Have you rested on the Sabbath? Again and again and again, Satan uses the law of God. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ do in blotting out that handwriting? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing in it. Triumphing over them in it. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was a triumph over Satan. Satan's religion is to put man on the throne. But in reality, in so doing, they're enthroning Satan himself. Satan's religion is to exalt the pride of men, but to keep men in darkness of the word of God, in darkness of the attributes of God, in darkness of the truth of God and his character and his judgment, to keep them in darkness regarding the word of God. Satan operates in this world as he did in the garden. He wants to destroy the relationship between man and God and to usurp the authority of God, to overturn his creatureliness and his servanthood. See, and his attacks are always upon the true church of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in all his glorious attributes. I don't believe that Satan cares two hoots about the Catholics and the Hindus and the Muslims and all the others that are deceived. I think he holds those people who follow him into that darkness, I think he holds them in utter contempt. He's a liar and a murderer. All of his attacks are upon the minds of God's people. All of his attacks are upon the word of God. All of his attacks are focused, all of the fierce sharpness of his arrows are focused on the true church of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as the conqueror of him, the one who victoriously conquered him on Calvary's tree. We mustn't give him credit for the things that ache and trouble this world. Mark chapter 7 makes it abundantly clear. He said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man, Mark 7:20. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders, thefts and covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. Satan's attacks are always about religion. Satan's attacks are always on the minds of people, as his attack was on the mind of Eve. He wants to make God's creatures his own subject. And his work consists of substituting his own lies for the truth of God. Beware, says our Lord Jesus Christ. Beware of Satan. See, you won't find him. You won't find him at work in the brothels and in the bars. You find him most at work in churches, in pulpits, in seminaries, in religious activities. Satan has preachers. Satan tries to get men to perform righteousness. Satan will give his people, he keeps his goods in peace, says Luke, keeps his goods in peace. Keeps his goods in peace by lying to them. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 11. He says in verse 12, But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, wherein they boast. They boast in comparing themselves with others, and they commend themselves, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves. Paul wants to cut off the occasion for their boasting. And he says in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 11, but such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers are also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, ministers of your righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What's Satan look like when he's a minister of righteousness? What's Satan look like when he comes to a church that Paul has just left in Galatia and takes over the pulpit there and takes those people into a bondage that Paul was horrified by, was horrified. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell over you to lead you into adding something to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? So Satan's work these days is to take people back to the law. Did you receive the Spirit, Galatians 3:2, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Satan came to usurp God's authority and to set himself up as a king. Christ came to do his Father's will. I delight to do thy will. Satan came to overturn the character of God in the eyes of his children. Christ Jesus came to magnify the character of God, to magnify his holiness and his sovereignty and his justice and his faithfulness and his truth. Satan came to cause doubt on God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ came to honour God's word. Satan must be defeated in the hearts of God's people to be set free. Satan came to attack the covenant of works. Christ came to fulfil that covenant of works and take it out of the way. Satan came to destroy the relationship between man and God. Christ came to restore that which he took not away. Satan came to be served. Christ came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Satan came to take life unto himself and control it. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. Satan was proud, and Satan's religion is always, I will, I will, I will. Our Lord Jesus Christ was humbled, humbled to be the least in the kingdom of God. Satan was a liar and a deceiver, but Christ was the truth. Satan was a murderer and a liar. The Lord Jesus Christ was life itself and the light of the world. Satan seeks to elevate man in his mind. Christ was humbled, so humbled the world knew him not. And Christ works a humility in his people when they meet him. Paul was told to rise because he'd met the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd been humbled. Satan had elevated him and elevated his righteousness, and the Lord had humbled him. Satan seeks to use God's law both to elevate man and then to subject him to his control. The Lord Jesus Christ came to magnify God's law and keep it fully. See, it's only people who have been set free from the law, set free from that entanglement of Satan in this day, that can actually love him. You can't love him and keep the law at the same time. Adam was shocked when his eyes were opened. The Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was entering into when he took that cup, the cup of all those sins of all of God's people, that he had to drink, and drink alone, that he might undo the works of the devil, that he might take away and fulfil that law in such a way that the children of God now have perfectly kept the law of God and are declared by the word of God to be holy, spotless, unblameable, unreprovable. Time's run out, but man is powerless and he's captive under the dominion of this crafty foe who's most at work when he's least seen. And man in darkness can't see him and can't see his schemes. He can't see what controls him in his captivity. Satan uses man's natural light to even blind him further. Turn to God, our verse says. We turn to God from the power of Satan. Turned by a sovereign hand of God. Turned by a finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turned by the Spirit coming and revealing the things of Christ to us and showing us what it means when the Lord Jesus Christ cried out on Calvary's tree, "It is finished." Satan's servants are never finished. God's servants find rest for their souls in a finished work and a glorious Saviour. Let's pray.